Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask Mothers and Fathers Align Saving Kids. And we have our helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. confidential. If somebody wants to call to ask a question about all mental health issues, including addictions, schools, maybe you have an issue with a child that's going to school, we have a yeshiva liaison. Our number is 718-758-0400, and it's confidential. You can just call the number and not even give your name. Just describe a scenario, and we will try to connect you and give you the referral, support groups, or whatever it is that you may need, an inpatient, outpatient rehab. Just call the number, and then we can try and help your family. Please write down our number. I will give it out again. Maybe it's for yourself or someone you know, a neighbor, or someone you sit with in shul. So our number is 718-758-0400. Last week, we had with us Dr. Trapper from Zucker Hillside and private practice in Hewlett, and we spoke about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And I'd like to welcome you back and continue the conversation tonight, Dr. Trapper. Thank you for being on again tonight.
Thank you for having me back.
Right. And tonight we are very honored to have with us as well Dr. Pinto from Zucker Hillside. I do want to say, Dr. Trapper, that we've been working for many years together, and it's always an honor to work with you. You're such a devoted therapist and just community advocate for people with OCD. You are always there to answer questions. So I'd like you to please give out your number, please.
Sure, and thank you for the kind words. So my private practice number is 516-945-9693.
And anyone with any questions, feel free to call Dr. Trapper. He is very available, and you can just leave a message, and he will get back to you. I want to just go back to last week first with you, Dr. Trapper, and just quickly for our listeners, if they didn't hear our show last week, can you just define what is OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, please?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. So as we mentioned last week, so obsessive compulsive disorder, you can think of it as having three parts. So one part are obsessions. Obsessions are repetitive and uncomfortable thoughts. They usually have to do with doubts, like doubts about whether somebody has, for example, contamination in their body or in their food, doubts that maybe they accidentally forgot to do something very important that might cause harm, like lock the door or turn off the oven. And these doubts tend to be really repetitive and uncomfortable and excessive, and to a point where the person tends to realize that they're unreasonable. The next part is the compulsions, and those are either acts or mental acts that are intended to cancel out or to reassure the person. So it might be like checking their hands or washing their hands, checking the doors, asking other people for reassurance. And again, these behaviors, these compulsions, tend to be repetitive, kind of rigid. The third piece of the definition is that it causes distress, it takes up a lot of time, and that it's interfering with the person's normal functioning. So that's kind of the definition of OCD.
Thank you. And I do want to bring up the religion. There are many folks that do have OCD that tend to pray longer than others. Can we just explain how that can be part of the OCD?
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we were mentioning last week, these obsessions, these intrusive thoughts, they tend to latch on to things that people feel very deeply about in terms of what kind of person they want to be. So, you know, for some people, the fear of harming somebody else is really terrifying. And so they may have that intrusive and repetitive fear that they may cause harm. So when we're talking about from people, something that is very important to them is, you know, adhering to halacha and the mitzvos. And so sometimes people with OCD can be consumed by these doubts about whether they've performed mitzvos exactly the right way. And that could be brachos, davening, kosher, malchus and pleshek, taras and mishpacha. So people who have OCD can have the symptoms manifest in that way. And it is important to be familiar both with OCD and also with what's considered appropriate in terms of halacha, to differentiate between somebody who's simply doing what they're really, you know, what is appropriate in that regard, and on the other hand, between somebody who's suffering with OCD. And in, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk more about it, but in either case, we have effective treatment, behavioral treatment, called exposure and response prevention, which is, has been shown to be very effective in treating OCD.
Thank you. And again, I'd like to welcome Dr. Anthony Pinto, who is the director of Northwell Health OCD Center, which is a specialized treatment program for OCD and related disorders at the Zucker Hillside Hospital in Queens. Welcome, Dr. Pinto.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here on your show and to have a chance to talk through some of these issues with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Dr. Pinto, I want to ask you about obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Can you please explain to our listeners what that is and how is it different than obsessive compulsive disorder, please?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this because obsessive-compulsive personality disorder is not something that is as well understood in the public, and so it's a good chance to review those differences and what makes OCPD also impairing. So just to address the difference first, so Dr. Tropper just laid out the main components of OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and though these disorders sound like similar because of their very similar names, there are some key differences. So in OCD, as Dr. Tropper mentioned, there are these intrusive thoughts, so thoughts that you don't want to be having that are very distressing, thoughts about it could be about fears of being contaminated or fears that you might hurt someone even though you don't want to. So we don't see that same thing in OCPD. So OCPD, or obsessive compulsive personality disorder, like the name says, is a personality conditioning, meaning there are certain personality traits that are getting in the person's way and interfering in their functioning. And so what are those? So in OCPD, two of the hallmark traits are perfectionism and rigidity. And so when I say perfectionism, the person engages in behaviors that are meant to achieve a very high standard that, you know, is, you know, very difficult for them to live up to. And so they might take a very long time to get their work done because they want it to be done just so. And that can lead them to have difficulties either at school or at work, or need to ask for extensions in order to get their work done, or they might work through the night in order to meet a deadline. As a related trait is a preoccupation with order and details and schedules. So these are people that become very preoccupied with how they're spending their time, and they tend to try to schedule things to the minute. They get bogged down in details. And so they tend to lose the forest for the trees, right? So they're so bogged down in the minutia that they lose track of what they're trying to accomplish. And this also gets in the way of getting work done. The other piece I mentioned before is rigidity. And so they tend to be rigid and stubborn and insist on one way of doing things. it can be very hard to sway them once they've made up their mind about something. And this tends to be related to this need for control over their environment and over other people. So this can lead to a lot of problems in relationships, marital difficulties, difficulties getting along with other people, in at work or in other community settings. So OCPD is an enduring pattern that leads to difficulties in terms of impairment in their functioning, as well as leads to distress because they feel like they want the world to be a certain way, but they're not able to live up to that. So it can lead to anxiety or even depression because they're not able to meet their goals. But there are treatments for this condition as well, and we provide those here at the Northwell OCD Center.
And can you elaborate on the treatments that are available for OCPD, please?
Sure. Yeah, so the treatments for OCPD that we apply here in terms of therapy is within cognitive behavioral therapy. We try to work with the individual to increase their flexibility. And so, with regards to perfectionism and the rigidity that we talked about before, we work with them to try to first identify how OCPD is getting in the way of their lives. What are those high standards or rules that they are trying to live by that are causing them problems or distress? And then we work with them to systematically try to challenge those rules and to experiment with them to see if, is it really true that you need to reach that standard in order to be successful. And so it really focuses in on trying to increase their efficiency. We're not trying to get them to suddenly not care about things, but to live in a way that is more adaptive and functional without being beholden to certain rules and standards. So that's the process is through cognitive behavioral therapy. We can meet individually with them or in a group setting. We do have a group currently in our center for people with OCPD. And so they have found it to be really helpful to talk to others that have these similar traits.
And maybe so some of this would be a good time.
I'm sorry?
I was just thinking perhaps this would be a good time for us also to review what the treatment for OCD looks like as well.
Yes, I was just about to ask that.
When we're talking about the treatment for OCD, so recall that OCD is kind of has these components of these repetitive doubts and anxieties that lead the person to feel compelled to perform these repetitive behaviors, such as washing or checking. So the treatment for OCD is called exposure and response prevention. And essentially what we're doing there is we're helping the person who suffers with OCD to learn how to tolerate the uncertainty and learn that the uncertainty and anxiety do go away with the right skills, by gradually confronting situations that they're afraid of. So like if they're avoiding going somewhere, then we would help them to gradually approach that situation. If they feel compelled to perform a certain checking or washing behavior or reassurance-seeking behavior, like needing to ask other people repetitively, so we'll help them to gradually and collaboratively approach those situations that they're afraid of and which can make them feel compelled to do these ritualized repetitive behaviors and to let go of them, and eventually learning the skills to overcome the fear and doubt that they sometimes feel like they will only go away if they do the ritual. And so what we do is help people to learn that they can actually get relief by confronting what they're afraid of.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, I know that couples complain, when one spouse has OCPD and the other one says my spouse is so rigid, they're stubborn, our money style is different. Many times families don't know even that their spouse or their loved one may have OCPD. So how could we look at it with understanding it and not thinking that someone's just being stubborn or controlling?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right that it can certainly affect relationships. And these individuals, like I was saying before, tend to, you know, want to have a lot of control over what's happening in the home. They may even be controlling of the partner. And so in some situations, these people may not see it as a problem and may not want to get help. And so, sometimes we'll get calls here from family members about their loved one. And in those cases, it can actually be helpful for the family member or spouse to seek treatment about how to cope and with the individual, because it can be very stressful to be in the home. But as far as helping the individual to get more insight, providing information about OCPD can be helpful so they can see themselves in the description of these traits. And luckily, in this age of information being available through the internet, more people can read about this condition and see that it is a treatable form of mental illness that there are therapies available for.
And anxiety, what part does that play with OCD and OCPD in general? Will somebody that has underlying anxiety naturally can become OCD?
Well, I mean, we believe in terms of like where these conditions come from that, and this is something that research is looking at, is that we're biologically have certain vulnerabilities, and so certain people have vulnerabilities to experiencing anxiety in more intense ways, and that certain life events stressors can bring on this type of pathology. And so OCD is a condition where anxiety is a big part of it, right? Because as Dr. Trapper was mentioning, these intrusive thoughts cause a lot of anxiety that the individual then tries to cope with by doing compulsions. With OCPD, it is a bit different, and because these traits and behaviors are part of their worldview, so the anxiety comes into play with the frustration they feel with not being able to live up to high standards, or the frustration they feel when other people are not living up to their standards. And so in both cases, there's anxiety, but the anxiety functions differently. And so anxiety is a part of the behavioral treatment in both cases.
And I would add that in OCPD, you might be more likely to see, as Dr. Pinto alluded to, frustration and anger in addition to the anxiety. You may see that in OCD as well, but probably more likely to see that when we're talking about OCPD, because there is this kind of worldview that things must be a certain way, and then when that isn't met, either because of, roadblocks or because people aren't cooperating, that can lead to anger as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of relationships that really struggle because, like I said before, the spouse may not know that, or a parent or a friend may not know that somebody's suffering with OCPD, and it can be translated by being stubborn, controlling in different ways. But, I'm wondering, is it in the genes also? Is it genetic? Will children of a parent that has OCPD, will they be more prone to having it?
We do believe. I mean, there is some convincing evidence to show that some of these traits are genetic. And the issue is that when you have a parent that has these traits, it's hard to say to what degree is genes versus your environment, because the parent creates an environment in which the child is growing up, and so there are messages about control and about high standards that are passed down just from the way that the culture of the home. And so, but differentiating the degree to which it's genes versus environment is something that is a focus of research. But I believe that, perfectionism and rigidity, are vulnerabilities towards those traits that, that science is showing, also has a genetic basis.
Dr. Pinto, can you just let our listeners know about Zucker Hillside and your division on how it works? They come in, they do an eval. Can you just elaborate about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Northwell OCD Center, treats individuals with a primary condition of OCD or a related disorder like OCPD or body dysmorphic disorder. We offer both medication management treatments as well as therapy, including the ones that we've talked about today, cognitive behavioral therapy, exposure response prevention therapy. And we do this all while accepting a wide range of insurance carriers. So with this evidence-based treatment is available in an affordable way to people with insurance. The process is individuals can call us, and our phone number is 718-470-8052. You'll get a confidential phone screening, and then you're invited to come in for an intake evaluation, and then from there we create a treatment plan that is specialized for your needs, which includes those components, as needed, of medication. It can be individual therapy. We even have group therapy options.
That's wonderful. And do they come in more than once a week?
Depending on the severity of symptoms that we determine at the intake evaluation, for those individuals that have more severe symptoms, we provide multiple sessions per week. And that can be, like I said, a combination of individual and group therapy. For individuals with a mild or moderate case, they can have a single session per week.
Okay, and we have Dr. Trapper on the phone in private practice in ULED. Dr. Trapper, you see adults, teenagers?
Yeah, in my private practice, I see adolescents and adults, and I do also, as you mentioned, work at the OCD Center, and at the center, we're seeing adults ages 17 and up.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to bring up, and that is the connection. Is there any connection between OCD and depression ever?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a connection between OCD and OCPD and depression. That can happen in a number of ways. I think one of the more common ways is that OCD and OCPD can both be very distressing and can also lead to this impairment in functioning and people not being able to do well in their lives as much as they're really capable of. And so that can certainly lead to depression because people are not engaging in the normal kind of routines and rewarding life events that they normally would. There can sometimes be a co-occurring depression that may be unrelated, but typically it's connected to the OCD in the sense that the OCD or OCPD is leading to this kind of narrowing of life, where people are not able to engage in rewarding life events and life activities that they normally are. So that can certainly lead to depression.
Yeah, and what I would just add to that is that in both the case of OCD or OCPD, we would directly target the depression to increase the person's mood and motivate them for treatment and get them to reengage in their lives and things that they're passionate about.
Wow, there's so much more to speak about on dual diagnosis, different depression, eating disorders, and how OCD can kick in with eating disorders as well. And I hope to have both you doctors again on the air with us. I do want to say to the listeners that if you've been diagnosed with OCD and you believe you have depression, OCPD, OCD, whatever it may be, don't wait for this to, you know, worsen the symptoms possibly. You can call Zucker Hillside or Dr. Tropper for a treatment plan to be adjusted to your specific needs once you get assessed. So anyone out there suffering with any of the symptoms that both these doctors have described both last week and tonight, please call MASC at 718-758-0400 if you want to get in touch with the doctors, or call directly Zucker Hillside. Dr. Pinto, can I ask you to give out the number again, please?
Absolutely. The number is 718-470-8052.
And Dr. Trapper, if somebody wants to see you as a private clinician, can you please give out your number?
Of course, 516-945-9693.
And mention both to Dr. Pinto or to Dr. Trapper that you heard them on the radio. And please go on to maskparents.org and donate online to help us continue bringing these radio shows and help families with this struggle of all mental health issues, including addictions. I want to thank you, Dr. Pinto and Dr. Trapper, for being here tonight with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruchama. Thanks so much. And of course, thank you to you and MASC for all the wonderful work that you're doing for the community.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I really appreciate all that you're doing to educate the public about mental illness.
Thank you very much. And anyone with any questions, again, call our confidential helpline, 718-758-0400, and donate online to help continue our programs, all the programs and support groups and our helpline. Thank you both. Thank you. Have a good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Good night.